Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Feliz Año Nuevo. It's a privilege to be here with you all. I think that the mercies of the Lord are new, as the word says, and I think He has something for us this morning that we want to share. And actually, as we're taking off in this new year, we have a lot of new resolutions. Maybe as we think of 2022, we're trying to leave behind some things, you know, or some difficulties. And we just want to start fresh in 2023. But we really don't know the ways that the Lord are using to work in our lives. And I would just want to share with you this morning what God has been talking to us as a family. We are a family on mission, and in fact, this message is the result of a devotional that we did as a family. And then from this, God has been speaking to us, and has been really important in the season that we are as a family as well. So that's what we want to share with you this morning. And especially as we did this transition from Costa Rica to Panama, being here in Boquete Bible Fellowship has been such a blessing. God has ministered to our hearts in a very special way through Pastor Brian and his teaching in Romans, in the book of Romans. And I think in 2034, maybe we'll finish the book, I think. But it has been such a blessing. And especially one of the things related to the topic of this message is the fact that we as Christians, sometimes we can tend to forget that we need the gospel. We're thinking that others, they need the gospel, as Brian has been mentioning many times in the book of Romans, but we need the gospel too, every day. We need the message of salvation, but also the message of sanctification every day in our lives. And that has been such a powerful thing for us. That me, especially Zulma and I, that we're missionaries, we're always thinking, okay, how can we reach others for Christ? But also, how can I realize that we need the gospel every day? It doesn't matter that I'm a minister, you know, of the gospel. I need the gospel every day of my life. And because of that, I'm saying, okay, I need to go back then to the gospel. And then I need to go back to the founder of this beautiful, incredible movement in the world. And His name is Jesus. And that's why I've been wrestling with the Gospels in the last year. Going into all the Gospels and realizing and trying to understand more what is Jesus trying to teach us. What is He trying to say in His life, in the way that He modeled the ministry. And that's the context of this message for us this morning. Let's go to the text. Mark chapter 4, verses 35. From 35 to 41. Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" It is an incredible story here. And just to understand a little bit what is going on here, so we see in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus is conforming His team of leadership, the disciples. And so he has his new team. He chose the disciples, the people who's going to be following him. And they're on the road, beginning some exciting adventures. We can see from there that in the context before this passage, Jesus has been the entire day teaching, preaching the gospel. We see that he became more popular, and then people started to follow him, and he was near the Sea of Galilee, even in the shore. So people were in a big crowd, so he couldn't even be standing here. So he went and moved to a boat to start to preach because he didn't have even a space over here. And that was what is going on there in that moment. So he's using the parables and teaching through many ways, and has been an incredible day of teaching with all these new disciples of Jesus. And after this incredible day, teaching about the kingdom of God, Jesus is teaching through messages, but now he's going to teach through an incredible life event. And he has a great idea. He says in verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Do not forget that other boats were there, okay? Please, stay with me. So after a full day of ministry, Jesus has an idea to take the boat and go to the other side. And I can imagine the disciples standing there. It's been a full day. We're hungry, maybe. We're tired. It's dark. Let's go home or let's go rest. But Jesus says, you know, we have something. I have something for you. And so they took the boat, and they initiate this incredible adventure. So in verse 37 says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling." A sudden storm hits. When we think about the Sea of Galilee, it was a lake that had approximately 13 kilometers wide. And it was a very important place for the economy in that moment. In fact, as you see in the narrative of the Gospels, you will see that the point where Jesus is meeting some of the fishermen, they were in that sea. Because that was the place where they were fishers, they were making for the economy. So it was a very important place in that moment. But the Sea of Galilee has some particularities. Is 200 meters under sea level. So because of that, the water is warm. But it's surrounded by mountains, high mountains, and then you have cold air over here. So you have warm water, cold air, and what happens when these two encounter themselves, it produces sudden storms. So that's really interesting. Quite a thing, right? And so that is the situation and the reason that the Sea of Galilee could be in a completely calm situation, and suddenly the storm could begin immediately. So based on that, I can bring some observations and principles from this text that we are having today. Number one, based on that, we need to learn from the humanity of Jesus. In verse 38 says, "In the midst of all this, sudden storm hits, situation is getting chaotic, it says Jesus was sleeping." How do we learn from the humanity of Jesus? But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And so our tendency naturally is see Jesus as a divine person. Right? He's God. He's the divine aspect of God. And then we can think of him as a performer, as somebody that is making miracles. He was in a meeting right now and he knew what everybody was thinking. That is the way that usually we approach to Jesus. But it's difficult for us to approach to him as a human being. He was totally God. He was totally human. And what is going on here is that he was tired. It was a full day of ministry, and he had another great idea, but he was tired. So he was totally knocked out in the midst of this incredible storm. And that's really important to really think about Jesus' humanity, because he can relate to us fully in what we struggle in our lives. I can think of Jesus sometimes, you know, as I see this passage, that he was tired, that maybe he had gastritis sometimes, you know, as he was doing ministry and then walking so many miles and he was struggling maybe, we don't know, or maybe he had blisters in the sandals and he was uncomfortable to be walking. So these are maybe the type of things that he was experiencing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He can relate to us perfectly into what we are struggling. And that also helps me help us to recognize our limitations as human beings. It is okay in some time to rest. It is okay sometimes that we can be knocked out. You know, because of situations, our body needs to recover. We need more energy. But important and more important, I think, how can we learn from the humanity of Jesus, is to rest in the middle of the storm. Yes, it is possible. We can rest in the middle of the storm. He was teaching at that moment. Even sleeping, he was teaching us right now. So number one, learning from the humanity of Jesus, from verse 38. Number two, the disciples had the blurry perspective of what is going on there. In the other part of B of the verse 38, it says, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? The disciples had a blurry image of Jesus, of what is going on there. As a matter of fact, they were experts in the Sea of Galilee. Most of them were fishermen. These guys had every day working in that place. But that expertise was not enough. And by the moment that we see in the text, I mean, they were scared to death. I mean, water is coming into the boat. I mean, we cannot anymore control this situation. It doesn't matter how much do we know about sea and fishing. It is horrible. Maybe they had another ideas or another perspective of who was the person that was in the boat. Maybe Jesus was the political leader that was going to redeem Israel from Rome. Maybe he was a master. Maybe he was a prophet. He was a good rabbi, you know. But it's not God who is in the boat. They didn't know. They didn't think that God himself was in the boat with them. That was a blurry perspective. And we can say, well, these disciples, you know, because we know we have the full understanding of the scripture, but you know what? We tend to do the same thing. Sometimes we have the same phrase, Master, do you not care that we are space in this struggle? Maybe struggling with the health, struggling with a family member, struggling with the economy, struggling with our inner life. We tend to do the same thing. We're not different than the disciples. The disciples had a blurry perspective, but sometimes I do the same thing. You know, it's not the same that you wake up in the morning and you do a devotional on this and you're, this is nice, you know, Jesus. And when you are experiencing it, it's a quite different thing. But God wants to teach us. And I think in some way he was expecting from them and from us to have some of these phrases. Do you not care that we are perishing? The disciples had a blurry perspective, number two. Number three, before number three, verse 39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here we can see, in a very condensed moment, Jesus sleeping the human aspect and immediately proof of the divine aspect. He made everything, you know, peace, and he calmed the storm. There was a great calm. And I don't want to dig too much into this verse. I want to go to the number 40 because of the sake of time. But in the verse 40 says, he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And this is taking us to the principle number three. The antidote against fear is faith. Jesus is dealing with the root of the issue in the heart of the disciples. You know, when I was 5 years old, you know what was my first experience with fear? When I watched the movie E.T. I remember being 5 years old and watched that movie with this little monster with these big eyes. For some people, it's cute, you know? For me, it was a horrible thing, you know? And I was afraid of that weird thing, you know, called E.T. And it's funny, you know, but when the life is moving on, we start to have different type of fears, you know? Fear to other things, fear to death, fear of life itself, fear to make changes, to go through situations where we are out of this comfort zone. And Jesus is dealing this root issue of fear. And the antidote is to trust in him. There's not big theology here. It's put our trust in him. That if he's God that is in the boat, he is in control. Even in the most desperate moment of our lives, he's calling us to trust in him. And point number four, verse 41, it says, "And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" The storm is necessary in order to be in awe with Jesus. And I think this is really interesting because the only way that the disciples could really know who Jesus is through a storm like this, where they could really see his characteristic as a God all-powerful, all-knowing. And this is necessary in our lives as we go through situations that are difficult, where we don't want to go through storms, but Jesus brings us in a position that we can be amazed of who he is. And we don't like it, honestly. Nobody likes to be in a situation like this. But Jesus put us in places like this where we can learn to trust in him, to see a different angle of who Jesus is that we didn't know before. And I think that for us, especially as a family, that has been really interesting. We have been through the storm in the last year in different angles. But we have seen God in a way that we haven't seen before. And we have met him in a very, very special and sweet way. So it is necessary when storms start hitting our lives. And as we connect all these ideas, all the disciples were amazed with Jesus. There's a big connection of this storm in what is going on after this passage. When Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," That means, in that time for them to understand this, it meant, let's go to a wild adventure. It meant, let's go to the Gentiles. It meant that that trip was going to go to a very wild thing, and something really impressive was going to happen there. And you know what happened after this storm? Jesus arrived to the gathering region and met this gathering who had an unclean spirit. And he was free from this unclean spirit. And we can think of, okay, why Jesus is taking us through all this storm, the disciples thinking maybe, just meet one guy. That was the evangelistic outreach. That was the result of all this effort. But the connection I want to make here is that the storm is always with the purpose. The storm is taking us to a place where God has something in mind. And the same way that that Jesus was taking the disciples to the other way, not to be converted with thousands of people, just one guy, is worthy of the suffering. And in the same way, Jesus has a purpose for our lives as we follow him in the middle of the storm. There's this big connection between then be in all this incredible situation and then see the result of this incredible adventure. So learning from the humanity of Jesus is important. The disciples had a blurry perspective. Number three, the antidote against fear is faith. Number four, the storm is necessary in order to be in awe with Jesus, with his character. Number five, the storm is connected to an adventure. It's connected to a purpose. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, the Sea of Galilee is a representation of life. I don't know in what situation you are right now, how you came here this morning, but I can guarantee you that you are maybe leaving the storm. You can be entering into the storm. You could be in the middle of a storm. And all of that is okay. It's part of the process as followers of Jesus. And as I finish soon, for you who are a believer, you know that you are a follower of Christ. You have Christ in your heart. You have been following him. I want to tackle this question of the disciples. Don't you care that we're perishing? Because at the end they had the fear to perish, to die. And I think the answer of Jesus is yes. I care. Because I can relate with you. He cares. We don't know why the storm comes. Most of the time we don't know why it comes. But what do we have assurance is that he cares about your suffering. He cares about your storm. God he sent voluntarily his son to die on the cross for you and for me. And it is important to understand that he's in the boat. My English is terrible today this morning. We can feel that he's asleep, but he's not. He has promised to be with us every day of our lives until the end of the world. He will not forsake you. And it's so important to really understand and to believe this truth. He cares about your pain. He cares about your suffering. He cares of what is going on in your life right now. He was the one who perished for them. and for everybody. So we have totally assurance, security in Him. He's in the boat. And number two, if you're not a believer, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, maybe you grew up in the church, on a tradition, in the family. As I always say, God doesn't have grandchildren. He has sons and daughters. It doesn't matter where you grew up, but if you're not sure of your salvation, today is the day of salvation for you. Remember I said to you, don't forget about the other boats? Mark is the only one who mentions that phrase. There were other boats. And I was thinking in doing this devotional, what could be the experience for the other boats when the storm hit? Jesus was not in those boats. And for the disciples, for the believers, they were in the boats. Can you see their reaction? Oh, we're dying. If that was the reaction of the believers, of his followers, can you see the reaction of the other ones? What a misery is to be in the midst of the storm without Jesus. It is a complete misery. And believe it or not, we are going to go through storms in life with or without Jesus. And what a misery is not to have the resources to go through that pain, through that suffering, through that difficult situation. And I just want to beg you in the name of Christ, accept Him today. Receive Him in your heart. Repent. He wants to forgive your sins. And if you want to talk more about that, you can approach the leadership, to the elders here in the church, or if you want to talk to me about that as well, we would love to talk to you about this. Jesus is with us, family. No matter what the 2023 brings us this year, He's with us. I don't know what will be the perspective, but we have security that the Master is with us every day of our lives until the end of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. As you are teaching us that even though that you were asleep in that moment, you are fully God as well. And that above everything, Lord, you are calling us to put our full trust in you. Jesus, help us to walk with you today. Help us to realize that you are in control of every situation. Help us to have a clear perspective of who you are. Keep us in that process of sanctification to be more like you, Jesus. We love you. We'll give you praise because you will not forsake us. You are with us in the boat, in the midst of all trials and situations and storms that we're living in this life. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and for what you're going to be doing during this year in our lives, as a family, as a congregation, as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.